You're all doing good this morning. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. As you already heard, Pastor is out sick, and his wife as well with COVID. So please keep them in your prayers. Proverbs chapter 29 will be in verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. But before we continue, let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house this morning, Lord. I pray, God, for this morning's service, Lord, that there will be a blessing to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you use me, hide me behind the shadow of your cross, Lord. Forgive me of any unconfessed sin I have in my life, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll use me this morning. Open the hearts and minds of the people here at Vision Baptist Church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me read that one more time. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to focus this morning on the first part of verse 18, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The title of my sermon this morning is, Have a Vision. Have a Vision. In our day and age, people have forgotten how important it is to have a vision for their lives. Here in verse 18, we see what happens to somebody, okay, or something when there is no vision at all. They simply perish, the Bible says. I've seen multiple definitions for the word perish, okay? But there's a word here, a synonym I found for the word perish, and that word is destroy, okay? So if you were to put that in there, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people will what? Be destroyed, okay? Perish, the Bible says. Someone that doesn't have a vision organization or a business, okay, that does not carry a vision for them, for themselves, for that group of people will end up to be perished, okay? Thousands of churches every year, folks, close down. Why? Why does this happen? Simply because it could have been there was no leader and there was no people with a vision. Having a vision is very important. I was out eating, actually, with Brother Urban yesterday after soul winning, and he was telling me of one of his friends, I believe, that he was going to a church and they closed it down. They took down the buildings, the church building. And if you drive by there, the land, it's flat. There's nothing there. Nothing where there once stood a church. That's sad, folks. I don't want that to ever happen, especially here at Vision Baptist Church. I love Vision Baptist Church. But he was telling me that the land was completely flat. There was nothing left. No church, nothing. The land was flat. Nothing was left there. But not only does this happen in churches or in organizations, businesses, if you don't have a vision, okay, for your relationships, for your marriage, okay, for your family, it could end up what? It could end up getting destroyed. All right? And the Bible is very clear. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. All right. And like I said, it doesn't just have to be in the church. It could be here in your relationships, your own marriage, your family. Okay. You are setting yourself up for failure if there is no vision in something you want to build. You want to have a great marriage. You want to build your marriage. You got to have a vision. Now, I've never been married. Okay. All right. I've been in relationships. I've been in good relationships. I've been in bad relationships. I've been in relationships where I'm the one that messed it up, okay? I was the one that wasn't mature enough, and everything ends. I've been through something like that. And the reason why that happened is because I didn't even have a goal for that relationship. I didn't have a vision for that relationship. And like I said, I've seen many relationships been destroyed all because of that there's no vision. There's no man leading it. I've seen marriages been destroyed because of that in my time here at church. I've seen families been destroyed because there was no vision. Okay. Now, one of the most important aspects of your life is your spiritual life. You ought to have a vision for your own spiritual life. Okay? Your spiritual life is very, very important. This morning, I have 3 points for you guys I would like to share with you in regards to having a vision. But before we go on, I want us to understand what is vision. So what is vision? Vision is an essential ingredient in the life of every Christian. Okay? Vision is picturing how it could be or should be in the immediate future. That's what vision is. Vision is literally taking a picture of the future, okay, and bringing it, okay, to yourself in person. You use your head doing that. You say, maybe you're in here this morning and you have a family, okay? When I was out eating with Brother Urban, he was telling me what he wants for his daughters. I can see clearly that the man has a vision for his family. Maybe there's other people in here, you have a family as well. You should have a vision for what you want for your kids. Maybe they're young right now and you have control over them. You should probably have a vision for them, okay, as a parent and grow them, okay, to see them be good men and women of God. Now, I know nobody's perfect, but you should try your best in doing that. As a parent, like I said, as a parent, you should have a vision. I've never been a parent. I've never had kids, okay? But I've seen the consequences, and I've seen this a lot growing up in church. I've seen the consequences that parents have to face, okay, of not having a vision when it comes to raising their own kids. Though I have so many friends, I always tell the teenagers, I've told the church before, I grew up with so many friends in church, the majority of them are not even in church anymore. Not even their parents. I thank God for my mom, my dad. They always told us, on Sundays, we're going to church. Sundays is for church. We're going to God's house. Sunday is strictly for church. I remember my dad, when I was a teenager, I wanted to work. I wanted to get a job. And he would tell me, you can get a job, that's fine. But you need to go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. You need to be there. No, you can't work Wednesdays or Sundays. And thank God, God provided me a good job. My high school job was at Chick-fil-A. I was working at Chick-fil-A. I didn't like it one bit, but it worked good for me, okay? And I remember he would tell me, you know, you can't work anything else. You have to have those days off. You're going to church. And I think at first I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But now that I'm older, okay, and for a lot of you parents, your kids won't like a lot of the rules you give them or tell them. You can't do this and that. But one day, and maybe it'll hurt you too to see them sad, but that's all right. One day you'll see them still in church, serving God, living for God. Amen? And like I said, but now that I've explained the word vision, okay, let's go ahead and dive into our first point this morning. Point number one is a vision for spirituality, okay, for your spiritual life. A vision for your spiritual life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope you have your Bibles with you because we are in church and I'm going to be preaching from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll be in verses 13 through 16. The Bible says this. Actually, I'll be, yes, 13 through 16. The Bible says this. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? It is important, folks, that you have a vision for your spiritual life. You have no idea how important that is. Over time, I don't know how long the Lord wants me here at Vision Baptist Church. Or maybe you've been here for a while now, here at Vision Baptist Church, and you've seen people leave the church. Now, I'm not talking about they'll go to another church, but they just go back into the world. That kind of stuff happens because they didn't have a vision for their spiritual life. That's what happens. And you don't have a goal in your life when it comes to your spiritual life. You say, you know what? I'm going to be reading my Bible every day, whether that be in the morning or at night. I'm going to be praying every day, whether that be in the morning or at night, or I'm going to make it a goal. I'm going to be in church every Sunday, every Sunday. See, that's a person with vision. Okay, you're saying, you're putting your priorities straight. You're saying, first is God. First is God. And every Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, that's the type of vision you should have. Amen? You need to say, you know what? I'm probably not a reader. And that's all right. A lot of us aren't readers. All right? I remember when I first got saved, I was reading the Bible. It wasn't even King James Version. I couldn't even understand the King James Version because of the old English. I had to get one of the dumbed-down versions. I was reading it, and I was reading one of those, you know, the not-so-good versions, and I didn't understand a single thing for a whole month. But you know what? I kept on reading it. I kept on reading it. And after a while, after some time, I started noticing things, and I started noticing that God was talking to me, and then he wanted me to change. See, that's the problem with a lot of Christians nowadays. They just quit. You quit so easily. Look, folks, the Christian life isn't easy. It's not. I remember, I think I lived an easier life before I was Christian. You know, the Christian life can get tough. It's tough sometimes. And if you can't even get past the first step, you're not going to make it. Have a vision for yourself. I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm taking my family to church every Sunday. I want my kids to learn that we ought to be in church on Sunday. Okay? I remember my dad, actually I think it was my mom, she would pinch me if I didn't have my Bible in church. And she would even tell me, why did you come to church if you don't have your Bible? And she wouldn't even let me go to class sometimes with my friends. I wanted to go to the teen class, and she wouldn't let me because I didn't have my Bible. She said, why do you want to go to the teen class? You didn't even bring your Bible. Okay? Even it's those little things, folks. And then my sister came along, but they don't tell her nothing, just me. But that's all right. That's all right. But, folks, it's the little things. The little things as well. Teaching your kids how to bring their Bible, that's so important. That's so important. Let's keep on going here. Like I said, it's important to have a vision for your spiritual life. Throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and chapters 2 and 3, okay, you will find three types of man. Let me tell you real quick. The first one is the natural man, okay? That's a man that is not saved. I'll explain some more. Number two, the spiritual man, all right? Number three, the carnal man. Let's dive into the natural man first. Number one, the natural man is not saved. He is controlled by the world, the devil, in the flesh. The natural man represents someone that doesn't know Christ. They don't have Christ in their life. That's who the natural man is. Let's go to the second one, the spiritual man, okay? The spiritual man is saved and is controlled by the Holy Spirit. He is surrendered to God, okay? That's the spiritual man. He's controlled by the Holy Spirit. He has surrendered himself to God, all right? And there is nothing between his soul and his Savior. That's a Christian right there, okay? Or that ought to be a Christian. Let's go to number three, the carnal man. Okay, the carnal man. The carnal man is saved, but is controlled by the flesh, lust, envy, and strife. Sadly, folks, we have a lot of Christians like that, carnal Christians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes, in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. We see in verse 1, the Apostle Paul is comparing them to babies. Alright? That's sad. Look, I understand if you just trusted Christ as your Savior, you're barely coming to church, you're learning, alright, about the Word of God. But if you've been in church for years, okay, and there's no spiritual growth, you're not even trying, there's a problem there. And that's what the Apostle Paul was facing here in the book of Corinthians. There's Christians that are like babies, all right? You don't grow for nothing at all. You stay in the same spot. You've been saved probably for 5, 10 years, 15, 20, right? And you're still, you know, listening to Frank Sinatra. For the older folks will know who that is, not the young ones, okay? But since we got I gotta balance it out here, so that's fine. But you're still in the same spot. You're still living for the world, the devil, the flesh. God wants us to grow a bit. We ought to push for that. I know in my personal life, there's things I've struggled in. I'm still a human. Just because I preach the word of God doesn't mean I sin. There's been things in my life I need to work on. And you know what? I got saved when I was 19, okay? I'm not 24 years old, all right? I've seen a lot of growth in my life. There's some things that I'm still struggling with that I was when I was a young man, but I've grown so much. It's been painful, I'm not going to lie. That process can be painful sometimes, but there ought to be growth. There ought to be growth. Like I said, there's two types of Christians. The spiritual one, they're living for God, they're working for God, and then you have the carnal one. Which one are you? Are you still you're saved, but you're still living for the world, the devil, and the flesh? If you are this morning, maybe today is the right day to get right with God. Let's keep on going here. Let's go ahead and jump to, let me see here, point number two. A vision for the sanctuary. Remember, we're talking about having a vision for your spiritual life. We just went over having a vision for your spiritual life. Now a vision for the sanctuary. Very important. The sanctuary is here, the church, the place where we meet together. We're here together this morning. We worship God, singing hymns, praying. All right. The sanctuary, we ought to have, as the people here at Vision Baptist Church, we ought to have a vision for this church. It's important. God placed us here for a reason. And it's not just God didn't just place this church, Mr. Mendez, to just sit here and stay in debt. I don't think God did that. God wants to do big things here at Vision Baptist Church, folks. He wants to do big things, okay? But let's keep on going there. Number two, a vision for the sanctuary. In the Old Testament, folks, the people of God had the tabernacle, okay? They had the tabernacle, and later on, they built the temple, okay? In the New Testament, we live in the New Testament now. Praise God, that's where Jesus Christ came and died for our sins, okay? We live in the New Testament. God gave his people the church. God gave us the church, folks. He gave us the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, we see that Jesus gave his life for the church. Okay? Jesus gave his life for the church. Jesus, I have to mention this. Jesus did not die for the internet, folks. He did not die for the internet. You say, Brother Carlos, what do you mean by that? Here, let me see. I got it on my notes. Jesus didn't die for the church. I mean for the internet, excuse me. People nowadays, they just want to stay home and watch YouTube all day, watch church from the internet. Look, that's fine, folks. During the week, I'll go on YouTube. I'll listen to some of my favorite preachers during the week. I want to grow. I want to listen. I want to hear the word of God be preached. I'll do that. That's fine. But on Sundays, I'm not going to stay home in my Star Wars pajamas, right? And listen to Pastor Schaefer preach through the internet. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come to church. God built has this building here. God built this. Okay, folks? God built it. He did it this way. His son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins. And Jesus also died for the church. He wants us to be in church. Not stay home, and COVID did this, all right? And I'm not speaking down on COVID. I know COVID is serious for some people. For some people, it's probably not. And I know people that have gotten sick very bad from COVID. And no way am I playing down COVID. Please don't think that. But some people are still staying at home, watching services from home. And that, folks, that's sad because you want to watch church from home, but we see you at Walmart, or we see you at McDonald's ordering 20 cheeseburgers for yourself. All right, folks, come to church. God built this building for us to assemble together, be together, worship him, and hear his word be preached. If there's anything this world needs, it's the house of God, folks. It's the house of God. The house of God represents a pillar of truth. That's what the Bible says. I've said this story before. Years ago, back in Bible college, about 4 years ago, I was working security. And my supervisor, he was atheist. And he was into politics a lot. And I asked him one time, hey, I forget his name. Let's just put him David, though. Oh, no, Justin was his name. I told him, Justin, why do you think America is so messed up? You know, I like talking to people about politics. I like getting them riled up sometimes just for fun. But I was asking him, Justin, you know, why do you think America is in the condition they are? I mean, we're just going downhill. What do you think is going on? And this atheist said, well, I personally think the problem is that we don't have any more strong churches in America anymore. I said, wow, I was blown away. I said, but aren't you atheist? You know? But this man even knew that it was the church that holds up our morals, our standards. That's what was holding up America. It's not doing that anymore, folks. God built the church. Don't stay home and listen to YouTube all day. Preachers, that's fine if you do it during the week. But on Sundays, it's the Lord's Day. Come to the house of God. Amen. A lot of people also, they like to make up excuses to not come to church. That this is a big one right here. This is a big one. I actually ran into one yesterday. A big one is, oh, there's a lot of hypocrites there. Well, duh. God, okay, let me explain this. When you're sick, okay, say you're sick, say you got COVID really bad and you can't breathe no more, where should you go? Say you have cancer, all right, where should you go if you're sick and you're dying? Where do people usually go? The hospital, right? All right, that's a no-brainer, all right? You know, unless you believe in, something else and you don't believe in doctors, that's fine. all right, so someone that's sick goes to the hospital, right? Someone that's spiritually sick, has sin in their life, where do you think they should go? To church. Hear the word of God be preached to them. And you say, oh, you have family members. Oh, they're brainwashing you. Yeah, we're brainwashing you from all the filthiness you hear from the world. That's what we're doing. That's what the Bible does, folks. So I've run into people like that all the time. Oh, I can't go to church right now because I'm doing this, and that. Well, come. I want the fornicators, adulterers, homosexuals to come and we'll preach to them and God's going to change them. God's going to do the work. If they're coming here to church, it's for a reason. All right? Over time, people need to hear the word of God be preached to them and slowly God's going to do the work in them. Just how God did the work on some of you. All right? And how he did the work on me, that's how God is going to do it to people. All right? Let's keep on going here. The church gives us a place to attend. Like I said, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. I'm almost done. Don't fall asleep on me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says this. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world... Oh, no, I got it. 10:25, I'm sorry. Chapter 10, verse 25. All right, it says... Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. All right, he says, not forsaking the assembly. This right here, folks, what we're doing right here, we're assembling. Okay, we're assembling. All right, and then he says, there in the same verse, 25, he says, not forsaking. What forsaking means to abandon. All right. So if he's saying not forsaking the assembly, the word of God is telling us don't abandon getting together in a church like this. Don't abandon that. OK. And like I said before, this Internet stuff's doing that. The Internet has done great works. Preachers have reached hundreds of people throughout the Internet preaching the gospel. And that's good. It's a good tool, to be used to preach the word of God. But God wants us in church. That's the right. Once you hear the gospel, come find a good Bible Baptist preaching church. Amen. God wants us to assemble together. All right, let's keep on going here. The church is not a community center. Okay, it's not a community center. It's a place where believers, Bible-believing Christians, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've trusted him as your Savior. If you have not, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You cannot go to heaven simply because you are a sinner. That's what the Bible says. Okay? if you're in here like that this morning, maybe after the service, you could come up to me, Brother Urban, raise your hand, please. Brother Urban, Mr. Mendez, and other people here that they know how we can show you how you can go to heaven. One day you're going to die. We're all going to die. And you're either be in heaven or hell. That's just the reality of it. There's no other place. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of our sin, we deserve hell. But, the Bible says, but the gift of God, God has given you a gift. That gift is his son, Jesus Christ, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him and who in Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life in heaven. That's how you get saved, all right? That's how you earn your way to heaven, by just simply putting your faith in Christ, not doing works. You can't do stuff to get you to heaven, all righty? But if you have more questions on that, you want to get saved, please speak to one of us after the service. But like I said, the church is not it's not a community center. It's a place where we come together, worship God. After your home, okay, first it's your home. Your home and then the church. Okay, I've seen people put church first, but their lives, their family and their home is messed up. That's actually a requirement for a pastor. They had to have their home in order, okay, to pastor the church. Because how are you going to pastor a church, but your home is messed up? So your home comes first, folks. But the church should be the second most important institution of your life. Okay? In this church, we give the neighborhoods around us the opportunity to come to church. We have a bus ministry. Right now, we're praying for a driver, but our driver just moved. But Pastor Schaefer, he's driving the bus. He couldn't drive it today. But we use the bus ministry, all right? We give the people here the opportunity to come to church, all right? We go knock on their doors and invite them to church. That's biblical, by the way. A lot of people try to say, oh, you're those type of guys that knock on our doors. Yes, I'm the type of guys that knock on your doors, okay? That's biblical, folks. But we give the neighborhoods here around us the opportunity to come to church, all right? It's important we do that, that they hear the gospel. We preach them the gospel, all righty? Let's keep on going here. Every child, and that's what we have it, every child and family should have that opportunity to come to church. The church also gives a place to tithe, all right? The church gives us opportunities to be able to give to the Lord, all righty? And that's through offerings and tithing. It's very important that you learn how to become a giver. A lot of people, they struggle letting go of the dollar bill, and it's just a dollar bill. You ought to learn to give out of your heart. That's important. It's important that you learn how to tithe. The word tithe means tenth part. All right. If I have a $100 bill, if I get paid from my job $100, okay, I ought to give 10%. Okay. And, that's only $10. All right. If I'm doing the math right. And I stay with $90. God is good. God gives me more. All right. I stay with them and I give the $10, $10 to the church, the house of God. All right. I already have in mind, you should have in mind that the money you have, the money you make, it doesn't belong to you, folks. God gave you that. God gave you the brain, if you work, you know, a physical job, your legs, your arms, God gave you that. All right. If you're the type, you just sit behind a computer, God gave you a brain, your hands, okay, to do that kind of job. God gave you that, okay? And it's only best if we give back to him as well. When there's an opportunity to give, folks, you should always give. I try to do it myself. I teach the teenagers. I always try to give a dollar when the offering plate is going around, okay? I do my tithes, and I like to give a dollar, too. Every Sunday, every time I can, I'll bring a dollar. I'll just give a dollar, okay? If you got a little bit more, I'm broke. I'm still going to college, so I'm broke. But I try my best to give as much as I can. When there's opportunity, folks, always try and give. Always try and give. I remember back in college, we had to raise money for a bucket. It's like that every year from September, and it's stressful if you're in charge of a bucket. I was in charge of it for 1 year, for my junior year and my senior year, because I was a bus captain. And every ministry and every bus route, they give you a bucket and you have to raise $1,000, okay? It's a big church. It's a 3,000-seat auditorium, a lot of people, and there's a lot of ministries. So a lot of ministries get a bucket. And I had to be in charge of raising that $1,000. I remember my first time, I only had a month because they told me late that I had to raise $1,000. I prayed. I pushed for it with my bus workers, okay? I had like 15 bus workers. And in that month, we raised the $1,000, praise the Lord. And we gave it all to the church. I remember my second time being a bus captain. I like to go above and beyond. I'm very like that. I can be a little ambitious sometimes and it backfires. But this right here, it didn't backfire. Instead of $1,000, I told my bus route, you know what? We're not doing $1,000. We're going to do $2,000. And I made a plan. I said, you know, if everyone gives $120 from here all the way to December, we're going to have the $2,000. All the other bus routes raised $1,000, and I felt good. Praise the Lord. We raised $2,000. You know, I wanted to raise a little bit more, folks. And that's just a small example of how I had the opportunity to give while I was in college. And another example is for the teenagers. Right now, I'm encouraging all the teenagers to give $20 a month to our youth group bank. And right now, we have about $250 raised up. We just started, I think it was last in May. We just started in May. So yeah, last month. And it's a blessing to see the teenagers, some of the teenagers, not all of them, but some of the teenagers give. And even the ones that don't work jobs. I don't know how they get the $20. I hope it's nothing illegal, but they're giving. They're helping. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's just, see, I want to teach the teenagers to give. I want them to have that experience. It's important you teach, you know, your kid, the young ones how to give to the house of God. We have another opportunity here at the church. We've been praying for the mortgage, all right? And I don't know how we're going to do it, but God's going to provide. God's going to provide. And for some of you, maybe God has placed in your heart, you know what? I want to help pay off that mortgage. I don't know. Maybe if God does that, I think you should listen to it. The Lord's going to bless you tremendously. All right. Let me see. Let's go ahead and jump here to point number three. I ran out of time. I got about 5 minutes, but I'll try and go through this quick. This last point here, a vision for service. You ought to have a vision for service. For point number three, a vision for service. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. And I'll finish with this. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says this. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Let me just give you a little bit of context here. We have Nehemiah. He was burdened. He wanted to rebuild the walls that were destroyed that surrounded Jerusalem. And God had placed in his heart to do that work, and he wanted to. He kept praying. He asked God for the opportunity to do that. He wanted to work for the Lord. And he went out and he rebuilt the walls in record time. He did an amazing job. Amazing story if you have time to read through the book of Nehemiah. But we see here in verse 6, he says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people, listen to this, folks. This is very important. All right, verse 6. The last part he says, for the people had a mind to what? To work. The people had a mind to work. Nehemiah didn't go out to build that wall by himself. He had people with him. And those people that were with him, Nehemiah was leading the way. Those people that were with him had a mind to what? To work. Something a lot of, you know, of the younger generation don't like to do. All right? Work. All right? It's important that you have a mind to work. It's important that you have a vision for service, meaning to serve here at church, all right, and to come with a mind to work. It takes work, folks. It's work. Here at church, it's work. Somebody comes and cleans the church. It's work. Let's keep on going here. I'm almost done. Great churches are working churches. Let me say that again. That's very important. Great churches are working churches. Every Christian must get a vision of service for God. Okay? After every Christian gets a vision, we will become a serving church. And as a church, we ought to be a serving church. That's very important, folks. That's why many churches close. Because there's Christians, there's members in the church that don't have a mind, okay, to work. All right? And that's very important. It's very important. Let's keep on. I'm almost done here. There's always different serving opportunities in the church, folks. Different serving opportunities. Here, especially here at Vision Baptist Church, God has given everyone in here different gifts to use for God's glory here at this church. All right. For example, like I said earlier, we have a cleaning ministry to clean the church here, the building. All right. Mr. Mendez, are you in charge of that? We have that right there. And that's a good one if you're new to the church. That would be good to start you off, okay? But like I said, over time, you got to grow a little bit more, okay? We have the cleaning church, all right, to clean the church. We also have teaching opportunities on Sundays. There's classes that we run. We bring in bus kids, and they need a teacher sometimes. You can work there, be faithful, teaching a Sunday school class there with the kids. An important one, we have a bus ministry. We need lots of help there. We go out and invite kids to church, families. We preach the gospel to them. The bus ministry still works, folks. It still works. It brings kids. You know, a lot of you guys think, oh, man, these guys are rascals. You know, they're just tagging up the bus, you know, ripping up the seats, doing this and that. That's fine. They probably are. I'm not going to lie. A lot of them, they're not very good kids. And that's understandable. A lot of them come from broken homes. Okay? But I remember when I was in college, Brother Ron Lewis, one of my mentors there in college, he was in charge of the bus ministry there at the church. They run like 40 buses. Hundreds of kids come to church every Sunday. And he was a bus kid. He never had a dad. He never met his dad. He grew up with his mom. Grew up in the ghetto over there in Florida. And sometimes they were homeless. Sometimes his mom didn't have a house for them. And one day a soul winner knocked on their house, invited them to church, gave the gospel to the mom. The mom got saved, but she struggled going to church because she had to work for her kids. But she would send the kids, Ron and all his brothers and sisters, to church. And she would tell them, you're going to church. You're going to ride the bus. I don't care if you like it or not. And he was one of the bad kids, all right, on the bus, the annoying ones. The one sitting at the end of the bus with the headphones in the ear, okay? And now he's serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord. He's serving that at the church. He's got his bachelor's. He's got his master's degree. He's preaching the word of God. You know, folks, the bus ministry still works. Another story, I remember the pastor that got my dad saved, Pastor Alex Meon, he was a bus kid. And the older ladies there at the church would tell me, oh, he was one of the annoying ones. We wanted him out of there. You know? Oh, Mr. Mendez, you know. You know him, huh? Is it true that he was really that bad? Okay. Now I know why you don't quit on some of these guys. But he kept on coming to church on the bus. He ended up going to Bible college. And then he started pastoring my home church, the Evangelical Baptist Church. And that's when we got there. And my dad didn't really like the church. But Pastor Meon was such a blessing. He kept on going for my dad, after my dad, giving him the gospel, discipling him. And then my dad got saved and he started going to church. The bad kid, God used that crazy bad kid to get my dad in church. Amen? Folks, the bus ministry still works. Our ministries here, they work. What doesn't work is the people in the churches. That's what doesn't work. But the ministries, the Bible, the Word of God, preaching the gospel, going out, knocking on doors to get people saved, that still works, folks. It works. Like I said before, what doesn't work is the people. That's what doesn't work. The gospel still saves, folks. We were out soul winning yesterday, and we ran into Miguel. We knocked at his house. He's in church this morning. Amen. I was talking to them, and then I told them, thank you. We were about to go, and then Brother Urban stepped in. He said, well, I was talking to his brother, and he said, let me talk to your brother that is interested. I was already going to leave. and he caved. Brother Irvin got him, and he tried giving him the gospel, and this, and we invite him to church, and he's here this morning. Folks, it still works. You have churches, they're changing. They're trying to bring in the worldly stuff, the rock and roll, okay? They want preachers with skinny jeans. Oh, by the way, I'm not like that, okay? So if you ever want me to work here one day, just so you know that I'm not a skinny preacher. If there's some of you in here that you think I'm a little too old-fashioned, I don't mind, okay? I'm not a skinny preacher guy, okay? I like the suits, all right? And I like looking like a man still, amen? But churches, they're doing that, all right? And they're trying to go, oh, no soul winning on Saturdays, no preaching the gospel, let's go bowling. Let's do something fun. I'm good. I'm for doing fun stuff. I still like having activities with the teenagers, hanging out with the brethren. But we ought to go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has to go. Somebody, and that somebody is you, folks. And you say, oh, I don't know how to do that. Well, we can teach you. All right? I'll finish with this. I'm 30 minutes over. Pastor Schaefer is always on time. I love Pastor Schaefer. I'm over. All right, I'll finish with this verse. Let's go to John chapter 9, verse 4, and I'll finish with this. John chapter 9, verse 4.
I found this on the web.
Oh, no. Oh, she found John chapter 9. I don't know if I could do that. John chapter 9, verse 4. The Bible says this, and I'll finish with this. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh, folks, when no man can work. And you know, I'm looking at how horrible this country, not just this country, the whole world is. All the wars going on, all the shootings at schools. It's a horrible place. Folks, you know why that's happening? Because the night is coming when no one can work and Jesus is going to come back. And there's going to be a lot of Christians, all right? Some of you in here, maybe, you're going to regret not doing the work of the Lord. Let me tell you something, Frank. You're not taking your Tesla stock with you to heaven, all right? You're not taking that to heaven with you. You're not taking, if you own land, my dad owns land, an acre in Tonopah. But I know people that own acres of land. Oh, I'm investing. That's good. That's wise. Amen. But that shouldn't be your focus. You're not taking your acres with you to heaven. What you're going to take is how you live for the Lord here on earth and what you did for him. Folks, the night is coming where no man can work. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to ask Mr. Mendes to come up to finish us off.